Leslie Charlton, and I'm the minister of Kingston United Reformed Church. What we asked people to do this time was to tell us what Easter means to them. The next challenge, which I hope you're up for, is what does Jesus mean to you? If you could send that to me, that'd be great. But for now, let's hear from Bethany. What does Easter mean to her?
Easter is a time of hope. It is a time of joy. It is a time of rebirth. It brings in the spring with the baby animals being born. It is a time, mostly, when we see the Lord rise from the dead and come again. It's a time to believe in.
Let's hear from Janine. What does Easter mean to me? Easter for me is a time of joy, resurrection and hope, new beginnings, a time of happiness and fellowship after the anguish of Good Friday. A time to celebrate our risen Lord and all he means to us. And the chocolate is also good. Now from Anne. Easter signifies the pinnacle of the day of fear, bewilderment and excitement of finding the empty tomb. A day like no other. The day that started humankind on a different path. It was slow recognition that Jesus was alive. It was the pathway to the start of the early church, a pathway to forgiveness of sin with time to wonder, ponder on, and start life in Christ anew. Now from Finlay. To me, Easter is living proof of the idea that some things are beyond human understanding. Did Christ really rise from the dead, or did he just recover from a period of suspended animation? Surely, in our scientific age, an age that claims to be governed by logic and reason, no intelligent being could possibly believe the resurrection story as the Bible tells it. The inherent weakness in this line of supposedly rational thinking is that it is based on a false assumption. We do not live in an age dominated by science, logic, and reason. We live in an age dominated by public relations propaganda, manipulative mass media, and celebrity worship. Even scientists have become celebrities with all the trappings of unreality and narcissism that celebrity status imposes on those who attain it. In these strange times, science and celebrity have formed an unholy alliance designed to further the ends of those who seek to control our minds. Science, particularly when allied to statistics, will prove whatever the person paying the bill requires it to prove. The fact that a scientific celebrity chooses not to believe in God does not prove that there is no such thing as God. In reality, it proves nothing at all. It's just a belief with no more proof behind it than the belief of any other mortal soul, with or without a scientific background. I cannot prove that Christ's resurrection actually happened, but I am reluctant to disbelieve in it just because our limited human knowledge cannot explain it, and modern medical technology cannot replicate it. At Easter, Christ overcame the world for all of us, and by doing so, released us from the world's folly and limitations into the realms of limitless wonder and possibility. All that we have to do is accept that gift. John Watts came across his thoughts from 2014 about what Easter means to him.
One thing that Easter is for me is a personal anniversary, because I was actually baptised on Easter Sunday by total immersion when I was not yet 20, which is some time ago now, I'm afraid to say. This is quite a long time ago, but the idea that catches me more and more now is the awareness of the stunning completeness of the action of God in the resurrection. Christ, during his passion, endured betrayal, desertion, flogging, being stripped, mocked, and finally nailed on a cross by professionals. And yet God takes all of this and gathers it up. And what makes it personal is that I recognise what has been going on here. I'm sure we all do. God is not gathering up the events around a political and religious clash that happened 2,000 years ago. He's gathering the events and crises and grief that surround us now. We recognise the malice and the cruelty. We recognise the panic-inducing sophistry of the Jewish leaders. We recognise the mockery and the brutality. We recognise it from our here and now, and God redeems it from our here and now. And without wishing to sound trite, this gathering, this redemption, this resurrection comes across to me as a very singular miracle indeed. There are no pleas for cures for lameness or restoration of sight or for evil spirits to be cast out or even for more wine. No one has articulated a need to be met. There's hardly anyone left to do it anyway. Christ's followers are broken by grief. They're terrified and scattered. For them, it is really the catastrophic end. We were hoping, say the travellers on the road to Emmaus, but it's all finished. And yet. Easter seems to me as God allowing the kind of the crashing thunder of the evils of Holy Week to die away, for evil to imagine its triumph. And when humanity has collapsed and is too distraught even to think of asking, God gathers all of this to himself, and the resurrection declares that the last word is not with malice or cruelty or sophistry or mockery or brutality or death. The last word is with love. The last word is with life. The last word is with God. And at which point, I don't know whether to fall on my knees or dance in the aisles. Shaken and stirred. This isn't then, this is now. This isn't then, it's me. It's us. Hallelujah.
Thank you to all the contributors, and thank you to Chris Impey for putting this together. The next topic is, what do I love about Jesus? What do I love about Jesus? So please either record your contribution or send it to me. Thank you. Goodbye.